This is Hacker Public Radio episode 3211 for Monday, the 23rd of November 2020. Today's show is entitled Chainsaws. It is hosted by Operator and is about 18 minutes long and carries an explicit flag. The summary is info about chainsaws and what I know so far.
This episode of HPR is brought to you by archive.org. Support universal access to all knowledge by heading over to archive.org/donate.
Hello everyone, welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. This one's going to be about chainsaws. As I'm learning and failing, I'm going to explain some of my experiences with chainsaws. I've had a blower. I've got glass, broken glass everywhere. I've had a blower for a while. I've had several blowers, three now, that I've repaired and fixed. Chainsaws are complicated because there's the safety aspects of them. There's the bar and the chain and the motor and all that stuff. And there's kind of more things you need to take care of, more maintenance. What I just found out last week by watching just random videos is one of them. I'll go through kind of everything that I've found in random videos. Is that you can take the bar and flip it. And when I say flip it, I mean I have a steel I have a bar, steel bar, and I'm going to flip it over. So this little doodad here is on one side. Ooh, does that have metal in there? That's plastic. I'll hope it's some plastic somewhere. So this bar can be flipped over. So I'm gonna put the bar, this little bar wheelie thing. The older ones, you have to have like tools to take apart. This new one, this residential grade or this entry level one, it needs to be. It doesn't need screws or anything like that. So we're gonna flip the bar over, which basically means taking this little wheel thing. To adjust the tension on the spring rules. It's a little gear wheel that kind of rolls back and forth on a slider, and that's what keeps the chain on the bar, the blade or the bar or whatever. This is super greasy, so I guess I have to clean this out, spray it out. So I'm not gonna spray it out. It's gonna be really loud. But you kind of want to get the heavy pieces off of there with like a brush. An old plastic dish brush is what I use to rake free any hard, stuck-on, grease-stained stuff, chunks of, hopefully it's chunks of wood and not chunks of anything else. But it can get gross every time you use it. You're supposed to use your chainsaw every time. Every time you use your chainsaw, you want to break it down, clean it up. It's kind of a pain in the butt, so. If you're doing odd-end jobs, make sure that if you're going to go all in, but don't use your chainsaw for 10 minutes and then not somebody need it. But the last time I used it, there was three chainsaws there, and I was the one kind of using mine the most. But you really, if you bring a chainsaw out, you really want to use it because it's kind of a pain in the butt to clean it. So if you're going to spend more than, if you're going to spend less than 20 minutes using a chainsaw, you gotta start deciding whether or not you could just use a handsaw, get what you're doing, or somebody else's chainsaw, because this is not fun having to do this every single time. Now I've heard you can spray it with spray it with silicone, and that kind of helps keep stuff from sticking on it, which I might do. But the silicone spray I have is more of a silicone lubricant. It's not for cleaning or whatever. And another thing I noticed, which I didn't get into, is I don't know where the air filter is. So I have no idea how to get to the air filter. I don't know how to get to broken glass, because I've already seen parts of broken glass all over the place here, which is not good. But anyways, I'm going to go through what I do to clean it up and what I've kind of read online, watched videos and stuff. I'll use the plastic kitchen brush to get the hard stuff off. Then I'll hit it with the compressor, or you could do a can here if you have to. Compressor is obviously more energy efficient, but you want to spray that out, get it all nice and clean. There's a little grease bar thing that you can pop out here. Most of them have this little, I don't know what it is, kind of chain bar or whatever that you can pull out. Basically, take everything you can out without unscrewing screws and clean it out. You want to try not to use the air compressor and jam, blow hard stuff back into the chainsaw. You want to kind of blow out. So if you can, try to dig out with like a toothpick or something. If you have a toothpick or something, you can dig something out of around where the edges are, where you think it's going to go down inside of there. I don't know. It shouldn't be too bad, but I just had to do that to make sure. So my bar is a bit wrecked. When I first started using it, I didn't know you had to fill oil when you filled gas. So when you fill up the gas, you fill up the you fill up the oil too. If you don't, your bar will get really hot and you'll be able to fry an egg on it. If you can spit on the bar, then it's too hot. I've got some blue. It'll look like almost like the way oil looks when it gets wet on a water surface. It'll kind of have this blue tint, and it'll eat the paint off of the bar first, and then it'll get this blue tint that goes all the way across the bar, and that's evidence of it being super duper 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 hot. So this bar I've basically ruined right out of the gate. I've also ruined the chain right out of the gate because I put it on the dirt for a second, which that's all it takes. You can't put a chainsaw in anything but wood, obviously. But you would think, it's just a few seconds or half a second chainsaw in. But you can't, it just makes a big mess. Other than that, I'll use a toothbrush. I'll try to use a toothbrush to get out the grout and the stuff off the bar. The crud out of the bar. I'll use a compressor to blow it out. I grease everything up. Some of the videos I watched, they put the chain in the thing of gasoline and then kind of scrub it up. I haven't done that yet, but I'll probably try it. What you want to do is be in a well-ventilated area, obviously. But I have a wire brush that used a grill brush. And I'll use that on the chain to kind of clean it all up, because sap, I guess, will get stuck on there real good. And make a mess in the bar. It doesn't really do anything to really help anything. You don't have to obviously get it clean. The most important part is the part where the chain goes into the bar. That needs to be cleaned, right? Everything else is just kind of aesthetics, actually. I would imagine that it's not going to do a whole lot to, like, make your chain completely shine, shiny. You just need to make sure the guide part's cleaned up and there's not any big chunks of stuff on there so that it won't... get stuck inside the bar or go somewhere else inside the chainsaw. So I'll say, as far as cleaning the chain, it doesn't really have to be clean, it just has to be sharp, and the using the chainsaw will get rid of everything else, pretty much. Let's see, what else do I have to say? There's chain oil for the chain, and then there's bar oil for the bar, and it usually comes with like this little weird push button oil thing, and you push down and the oil comes out of its thin little nozzle in the front. And I don't even see that this has one. And I'll have to look online to see if this little 16 inch or whatever it is, the smallest chain you can get, if this even supports what I'm looking for. But this bar is already pretty trashed. I'd say there's probably 5% damage, 10% damage on this bar as far as like it being ruined. So, you know, you gotta take care of the bar, you gotta take care of the chain, you gotta take care of the chainsaw, or else it'll all kind of take a shit on itself. I usually mark my stuff explicit, but, what else will I say about a chainsaw? Not everybody needs a chainsaw, but you'll find that if you have the opportunity to get one as a gift, or you're getting married, or whatever, you'll need a chainsaw. If you have a house, you're gonna need a chainsaw. You don't want to be asking neighbors, and that's what I tried to do for a while. We had neighbors, we're all into it, and I went outside, and he was standing on an 8-foot ladder, cutting a tree with the chainsaw over the top of his head. So I said, you know what? I need to get my own chainsaw because somebody's gonna get hurt trying to help me. Well, that's why I say. I use silicone to kind of clean stuff up. They do have the machine oil, and then when I clean it all up, I run it dry and let's get the chainsaw warmed up and let it spit oil all over, you know, like a piece of white paper or something white is usually the best bet. A white piece of paper, or dare I say, the side of your house. Not a good idea, because then you have one obviously sprayed all over your house. So don't do that, because that's gonna get people upset. So you want to make sure, you know, you're spraying oil out, and then when you turn it back on the second time, there's already oil in there. So if you just go straight to hitting a tree, it's not gonna be like super dry. I'm not gonna have to work as hard to get oil on the bar. I don't know why I have a master lock. Never even seen that bucket in my life. What else? Don't touch the ground, don't touch concrete, don't touch anything that's not wood. You'll be tempted to do the easy thing and risk touching the ground or touching the dirt with your chainsaw, and you will be punished severely if you do so. So, again, do not cut anything but wood with your chainsaw. You will have a bad day. It will be not fun for you. Let's see, what else? Fill it with gas when you fill it with oil. Fill it with oil when you fill it with gas. That's pretty much it. I'm trying to think of any other pitfalls that I've run into so far. Sharpening the tension of the chain, I've seen everywhere, from like basically what seems like loose to me to what seems like too tight. What I like is I like it just tight enough to where it doesn't spin on its own. So I tighten it to where it looks like it's fine. I run it for a minute, and when you heat it up, it actually feel like it actually loosens it, at first at least. So when you start running it, or if you run it for a while, I try to make sure that it can spin on its own and idle. So the chain's spinning when it's idling, that means it's pretty loose. And then I'll tighten it to stop spinning, and that's it. Don't want it too tight, because then it has to work harder to go around, to pull it around the thing. So everybody wants it loose, but you don't want it so loose that it's like falling off the chain and making a mess. I don't think it's super duper bad thing to have the shit that's blast. I don't think it's a super duper bad thing to have the chain fall off. From what I've seen and heard, it's like, oh, if the chain starts falling off, then it's not that bad. But chain falling off sounds like a really bad thing. Sounds like a really bad chain thing, but the chain falling off. So I've make sure, super sure, that I've, you know, I look over every once in a while and I make sure that the bar, the chain is still on the bar good and it's nice and tight. Other than that, I hope that helps you guys out with the sharpening. I have one of the fancy sharpeners that does the whatever crap for you. So there's sharpening. There's like three different things you need to maintain on a chain. But for most people, you're gonna ruin the chain before you have the necessity to change the depth of the cuts. You're probably not gonna need to mess with that. So by the time you sharpen it two or three or four or whenever, how many times, the chain's gonna be so jacked up and shitty that you're not even gonna wanna work on it. So chances are, if you're, you know, adjusting the height of the knockoff, the cut, the depth of the cut, then your chain's probably about done anyways if you're having to do that, because, you know, they're $16 or something. But, you know, if you're gentle and you cut a lot of stuff that's not super hard to cut, maybe you don't need another chain. But from what I can tell, you know, you sharpen the chain the best you can with just a little file that goes with it. Each different chain has its own kind of file, so you can't just file with whatever you want to file with. You have to have a matching, like number three and whatever, I don't know where it is. But sharpening can be easy. Don't overcomplicate it. You know, if it feels sharp, it's gonna cut. You do that whole check where you can check to see if chunks are coming off in big pieces, or if it's coming off like sawdust, then you don't want that, right? But if it's cutting into it and there's big chunks being thrown behind you, you know, depending on what kind of wood it is, if the chunks are big enough and look healthy enough to be like they're actually cutting, then you're good. You'll notice it when it doesn't cut. You know, if you hit the ground or something, it'll just take forever to cut anything. It'll start kind of seizing up because it's either over stress and you're trying to cut too big of a piece of wood, or that's not sharp and you're not actually cutting anything, you're just getting shit hot. Anyways, just be careful. I've got some chaps, and I've poked a hole in them and they started making a mess, so I just use like Gorilla Glue to kind of glue, keep it from being messed up, so kind of patched it with some gaffer's tape, which is basically a cloth-based safe duct tape. If you've never used gaffer's tape, go buy some nice cloth gaffer's tape. It will change your life. Again, I've talked about tie wraps. This is off topic. I've talked about zip ties and tie wraps fixing stuff. Those are great to fix things. If you have a joint, plastic joint, or some kind of hitch fell apart, or some kind of piece of plastic broke off, use two zip ties or one zip tie as a hinge to fix that plastic item. Another great tip, which is going to be in my quick tips that I haven't released yet, is giant rolls. I have a 50-foot cord that's very heavy. It's like a 6-gauge or something ridiculous. It's very heavy, and it's a 50-foot cord. Well, what I found out is that when I want to use it intermittently, you have to unroll 50-foot of cord. Well, all you have to do is take half of it and roll it up from the middle. So when you roll it up from the middle, if you need, say, 5-foot extension cord or 10-foot extension cord, all you have to do is unroll it 5 feet, and then you've got both ends with the thing in the middle. So you never have to unroll the whole roll just to get to, you know, one end or the other of the extension cord. So I thought it was a pretty genius thing. So it's going to be on my quick tips, but I'm bringing it up again here because I'm just talking about general, you know, fix it stuff. I'm going off topic, but anyways, keep your chainsaws sharp, be safe. You know, make sure people aren't around you when you're doing stuff. Make sure, you know, you're not around the tree and you're not going to get crushed, all that good stuff. But safety first. Get a sweatband if you need to, because I'm getting old. But I'm going to stop rambling. Y'all take it easy and hope this helps somebody out.
You've been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by an HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hecka Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club and is part of the binary revolution at binrev.com. If you have comments on today's show, please email the host directly, leave a comment on the website, or record a follow-up episode yourself. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution ShareAlike 3.0 license.